Blog Talk Radio.
And you know it, and you know it, it's the D Hour Radio Network, the Tuesday spot. The brothers is in the building again. Oh, we are back live once again on this lovely Tuesday, May 7th, 2013. That's right, I said May. It is May. It's the month of May. We got a few things going down in the month of May. We'll be talking about that a little later in the show, as well as we got a double play. We got a celebrity double play for you guys tonight, and we got a really great one, really great show for you guys tonight. D Slate, L-E-O-C-K, the brothers of the DIY Radio Network in the building, doing what we do best, you already know. Now, tonight, for the celebrity double play tonight, we're going to be talking to sensational actor, the one and only Mr. Michael Beach, is going to be in the building with us tonight. As well as in the second half of the show, we will be talking to, from the hit BET comedy series, the beautiful, the awesome Miss Nadine Ellis is going to be with us tonight as well. So definitely make sure you guys don't go nowhere. Please enjoy the show tonight. D Slate, L-E-O-C-K, brothers getting it in. You already know how we do it on another lovely Tuesday spot. As well as tonight, the number one segment on our Tuesday show, I said the number one segment on our Tuesday show, Real Men Talking. Oh, Real Men going to be talking tonight. Real Men will definitely be talking tonight. That's the segment where all the ladies, if you have any relationship questions that you'd like to hear a man's point of view on, you know, if there's something you want to, you're just curious about your men or about men and you just didn't know and you figure, you know, maybe a woman might not be able to answer this question for me. You want to ask some brothers. You want to ask some men. Well, Real Men Talking is the perfect segment for that. If you have any questions you like us to ask, to answer, you have any relationship questions you want to hear a man's point of view on, all you have to do is when we got Real Men jumping off tonight, all you got to do is you can call in 718-766-4553, or you can log on to the show right now, get into the chat room, post your question, www.blogtalkradio.com/DHourShow. You can post your question in the chat room if you really don't want to be heard. You don't want anybody to hear your voice. You just don't want to call in live on the air. You can post your question in the chat room, and we can ask your question, or you can look us up on Facebook. you know, or Twitter. You can post your question on there. On Twitter at DHourShow, DHOURSHOW, or you can check us out on Facebook. Myself on Facebook, D Slate, you know, or Optimistic Music, my man Leo. You can post your questions to us there as well on Facebook. So definitely make sure you do that, ladies, so we can definitely answer your questions tonight on Real Men Talking. I got my brother Leo in the building. Leo, what's good?
You know, everything's smooth selling. It's great to be back, and even better for a double doozy, man. It's going to be a big show. Real Men Talking is going to be excellent. I have a nice little question, a little three-piece and a biscuit, like you know I usually do. So definitely, if you guys are listening right now, so stay tuned for that. Our interviews and Optimistic Music is the page to hit up and de-slate. So, you know, everything's interactive, so just join us, and it's going to be a great show.
Well, Elliot, bro, if you got a three-piece and a biscuit, now if you got a three-piece and a biscuit tonight, then, bro, I gotta bring the hot sauce, bro. Bring the hot sauce.
You might as well.
Because it only goes down when you got a three-piece and a biscuit. It won't be good without the hot sauce. It just won't be good without the hot sauce. So if you got your three-piece, I got my hot sauce. That's real.
We're going to make it do what it do.
Now, real quick, before we go to this music break, and then hopefully get it in the first hour with the brother, the sensational Mr. Michael Beach is going to be joining us. So definitely make sure you guys don't go nowhere. But real quick, Leo, did you see the fight, bro? Did you see fight? Mayweather versus Guerrero.
I didn't. Not one bit of piece of it.
I'm going to tell you like this. Cass was wondering because Guerrero's 30, Mayweather, you know what I'm saying? Guerrero's 30, you know, Mayweather 36. You know, Cass was wondering whether or not Mayweather still had it in him. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, you know, they was wondering if he lost a step or if Guerrero was going to, you know, somebody was finally going to be able to get him. I'm going to tell you like this. I saw the fight, you know, from start to finish. First of all, and we're going to discuss this more a little later on the show because Lil Wayne was there with him instead of 50 Cent. I don't know if people, you know, heard about, you know, 50 Cent dropping him, and now Lil Wayne is endorsing him, is hanging out with him. Lil Wayne came out with him. It was interesting, you know, throughout the fight, man. It's just, you could tell Guerrero wanted it. You could tell he wanted it, man. But, fortunately, Mayweather was too quick for this dude, man. He was too quick for him. Every time Guerrero was trying to throw, you know, some of them haymakers at him, Mayweather kept dodging him. I mean, he kept tagging Mayweather. He hit Mayweather up. Here and there, every now and then with a couple of jabs. He probably hit him more with jabs than anything. But he was also hitting him, and I guess you can't call it dirty fighting, but when they get up on each other and start hugging, he started hitting Mayweather in the face, like sideways, when they was hugged up on each other. And that was the only time he was really getting shots like that. You know, and he was also taking body shots during that particular time. But when they was away from each other, Mayweather was too quick for him. He was too quick for him. Every time you turn around, Mayweather was studying him. He was hitting him with a few jabs, you know, playing with him. Then Mayweather, he would just tag him with the right. I mean, he tagged the dude with the right so many times. He hit him with a couple of combinations. I mean, he didn't knock him out. He bled him, though. He cut the dude's eye, and he made the dude stagger, like, once or twice. But I think if the fight would have went any longer, Mayweather would have knocked him out. I think if it would have went a couple more rounds, Mayweather would have knocked him out. But also too, Mayweather hurt his right hand, so he wasn't able to really keep giving it to him like he was throughout the fight because he hurt his right hand. So he just started dodging my man's punches and hitting him with the jabs, with the left jabs. But yeah, bro, it was going down like that.
All right, well, we're gonna touch it. Because, I mean, just to say, sometimes that experience overbears their age and youth. But yeah, we're gonna talk about that, bro.
Because I got some other stuff I wanted to talk about concerning the fight, as well as we're also going to be talking about my man Chris Kelly, one half of the group Crisscross, passed away a few days ago, and may he rest in peace. And we'll be talking about that as well. Also, a few other things that's been going on in the media, entertainment, and different things like that, we'll try to get in tonight as well. Right now, we got some hits. We're going to bump off some hits for you guys real quick, and hopefully when we come back, we'll be getting it in with my man Michael Beach right here on the D-Hour Radio Network. The Tuesday spot, D-Slay, L-E-O-C-K. CK is coming in a minute. I think he's trapped in Burger King's driveway trying to get us something to eat, you know, so we ain't even tripping. But CK trying to hook the brothers up because he know real men talking, popping off tonight, and we're going to be hungry after that. So right now, we got some music. It's my girl Kazmee with Out of the Loop, and we may have a little Big Jig, or we may have a little Case or Talib Kweli coming in. So don't go nowhere. We got the hits for you guys. Tuesday spot is going down.
Yeah, you. Hey, you. Yeah, you. Oh, hey, you. Hey, you. Oh, yeah, you. Oh. except at the time standing now. I'm wasting on time, let's get it up tonight is ours.
Why you walking, everybody watching you closely? Hitting them high notes, nothing about you low key. Just let it register, body is unreal. It's animated like Jessica Rabbit, a cartoon. Wanna stab like a harpoon, these dudes just ride a club and desert your body like an oasis. The thirst is so real, you can see it all in their faces, especially when you drop it low. Baby, you gotta know, girl, you be killing them, filling them with no kind of hope. Dude on the block, like he's selling dope, out of shoes, gonna watch you tell he broke. Come stop with the lies he's telling folks. You can't see with a telescope. Celebrating, holding glasses up like Sarah Palin knows. Loving in a glove and a telescope, but you hate that your hair gotta smell like smoke. They ask you what is the info. Niggas try to fix the prices, never dealt with chicks before. You ain't got to lick a life, still you down to live your life. If dude is down to split the slice of pie, you like to master act to fly till he hit it right. Hey, you girl with the tight up skirt in the back of the club where they light up her. Known to drop it like a stripper with her night off work. They make it rain and you stuff them dollars right in your purse.
From your hips to your thighs, the seventh of the time standing now. So let's not waste no time, let's get it go, cause tonight is ours.
You just looking for somebody who can fill in the spot, fill in the blank, yeah. Shorty, you've been sipping a lot, fill in the drink as it seeps to your head. You erase your regrets, throw another shot back as you race to forget. Yeah, the night just started, we both parted from ex-love. Sleep won't make you forget him, baby, but sex does. Swear you ain't looking for no one-night stand, but you prepared to risk it all for that one right man. That's me, let's have a toast to your future, I know you want to. Leave your ex in the past, don't let him haunt you. The last argument was World War III, but follow me, I introduce you to that bourgeoisie. Talk is cheap, welcome to the All That Show. You be my Bridget Bardot, I be your Serge Gainsbourg. Give you what you came for, let me get that car dough. Have you ever made love in the Lambo Gallardo?
From your hips to your thighs, the seventh of the time standing now. Yeah,
girl, you're
outstanding. Yeah, so let's not waste no time, let's get it go, cause tonight is on. Yeah, yeah.
You might know me, I'm 50 Cent. You may follow my tweets, my Facebook friends. Odds are a few in a 6 degrees separate us. We're that close. What's crazy is 1 in 6 don't know where their next meal is coming from. These are your coworkers, your neighbors, your friends. Hunger's too close for us to ignore. So visit feedingamerica.org/hunger and find your local food bank to see how you can make a difference. From one close friend to another, let's do this. I'm 50 Cent, and together we are Feeding America.
A message from Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Yeah, yeah, welcome back. Welcome back to the DIY Radio Network, the Tuesday Spot, D Slate, LEO, CK, the brothers is in the building. The brothers of the DIY Radio Network getting it in tonight. You just got through listening to my man Talib Kweli featuring Ryan Leslie with Outstanding. Before that was my girl Kazmi with Out of the Loop playing all the hits right now. Ladies and gentlemen, it is our pleasure to introduce our first guest for tonight. You've seen him in such big, big hit movies as One False Move, Waiting to Excel, Soul Food, and also you've seen him in hit TV shows as well as like NBC's Third Watch. Ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, please give a warm D-Hour show welcome to the sensational Mr. Michael Beach.
Hello, hello.
What's going on, man?
How are you,
Mike,
man?
How you
what a little introduction there. I appreciate it.
Well, you deserve it. You absolutely deserve it. You do some phenomenal work, Mike, and I definitely love your work. and definitely the films and also the TV shows that you've been involved in as well. So you do some incredible work, and it's definitely our pleasure to have you on the show with us tonight.
My pleasure to be here. I'm ready to answer whatever you wanna ask.
No doubt. I like that. Now, definitely for the fans right now, I'm pretty sure they would like to know how did you get started in the acting business?
Well, I started my last year of high school. Actually, I played football. I was an inner city kid in Boston, and got a athletic scholarship to a prep school outside of Massachusetts, and or just inside of Massachusetts. And I played football there, and that was really where I thought I had value, and did for a while until I got hurt playing lacrosse. And
oh wow!
Yeah, any sport with contact was my sport. You know, it was like
no doubt.
I just wanted to hit and be hit. That's what I liked when I was younger. I don't want to be hit so much anymore. But I ended up getting hurt really badly, and
oh, wow.
Not knowing what to do, somebody asked if I wanted to audition for a play. Solely based on the fact that every morning we had morning. This is in the 70s. We had morning assemblies, and every once in a while, I gave an announcement for somebody that was afraid to get up in front of everybody and announce whatever they had to say about their particular club or whatever event was going to be coming up. So I did it for a lot of people, and I loved it. And this guy thought that I had ease on stage, and so he asked if I would audition for a play. And at first I resisted, and then I said, yeah, why not? What am I doing? So I auditioned, and I fell in love with the process of rehearsal, and from that point on, everything I could do with the theater is what I did.
Wow. Now, I mean, looking at you know, some of the things you were involved in, I mean, you got a really extensive history in television as well as film. You know, of course, you know, some of your, you know, most notable roles, you know, in Soul Food and Billy Bob Thornton's film One False Move, Waiting to Excel. You know, I mean, I remember you, you know, in so many different things. And you were also in the new movie Red Dawn.
Right, yeah. That came out last year, yeah.
Right. Now, did you see the original?
Oh, sure, yeah, exactly. In the early 80s, yeah, I think I think I was in college, I think, in the very early 80s when that came out. And sure, I remember it vividly. And, it was hard. What are they going to do with this one? Because
exactly.
It was a clear enemy back then.
Right.
And now you go, well, who's the enemy? Who's the bad guy? You know, and who are you going to offend, you know? And, it ended up being, I think originally it was, it had changed from a bunch of different people, but eventually it ended up being the North Koreans, which is kind of apropos if you pay attention to what's going on now with the North Koreans.
Now, I got to say, because you play so many multiple roles and different characters and different personalities. Now, I know when you did, you know, the character for Waiting to Excel and the character for Soul Food. Like, when you do characters like that and you know that there's going to be situations or there's going to be scenes in a movie, you know, that's gonna definitely touch people in a positive way or a negative way, if people are going to react to it in such ways. You know, I mean, how do you prepare yourself for roles like that?
Well, it's not really my job to think about how people are going to react.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's if people will react how they react. Some will be favorable and some won't. My job really has zero to do with that. My job is about what my character's trying to do. Where's he trying to go in his life? What he wants? What are the specific ways that particular person goes about getting what they want?
Right.
I have no I've never sat back and gone, I wonder how people are going to respond to this, or
right,
or if they're going to like me or if they're not going to like me. That's
right.
That's not my job. If you start doing that, then you start commenting on what the, you know, how the character is, or who, or how you see them, him, you know, if he's
right.
going to be a bad guy or a good guy. If you start doing that, then you really start doing yourself a disservice and the project itself, you know.
Wow. Okay. Now I definitely got some really good ones, really good questions coming up. I know my co-host LEO has definitely got some for you. LEO, you have any questions for Mr. Michael Beach?
Oh yeah, definitely. It's definitely an honor to have you on our show. I want to thank you for coming on.
My
pleasure. Now. You have a big track record, you do. Now, you were saying that you didn't at first, you went into the sports, and then you wanted to switch into the theater once you got injured. Now, what was the breaking point where you found your passion, your heart? Was it a in particular play that you were in, or something you auditioned for that just struck
you? It was the first play I'd ever done. The first play I ever did was a play called The Diary of Anne Frank, which, first of all, there are no black people in that play. It is not a comedy. It is a serious, deep drama about a Jewish family hiding out during the Nazi occupation of Germany and other. Countries in Europe, and there was a man, excuse me, a man who helped hide them out. He was a Dutch Jew, and he was about a 65-year-old man. And at the time, I was 17, I think. And for me to do that, you know, obviously you could do that stuff in high school. The school really took a chance. First of all, I was one of maybe five black students in the whole school at the time, and they really took a chance in casting me in that because it's a very sensitive play. It's an incredible play, and the audition was great, but it was the rehearsal process of really trying to put yourself in the people who were going through what they were going through, putting yourself in their situation as much as possible. Obviously, it's impossible to put ourselves in something like that. It's impossible for any of us new modern black people to try to profess that we have any kind of idea what slavery was about. I mean, we use our imaginations, you know, we're obviously aghast by it, but honestly, if we're really honest to ourselves, we could not possibly imagine the ins and outs of what that is. But mm-hmm. at the same time, as an actor, my job is to get as close as possible to what that feels like, to what that, you know, what that type of situation would be like. And I just fell in love with that whole process from the very beginning. So for me, I fell in love, you know, in the first week of ever doing it.
Definitely.
Oh, wow.
Now I place you in a category with one of the realest actors I know. Once I found out that I was going to be interviewing you, it was like, where is Waldo? And I just saw you everywhere. I placed you in all the films from Lean on Me. I was like, oh, this is.
Oh yeah,
bam.
Yeah.
You know, because you know, sometimes not by name but by face, you start to pinpoint. Now, I concur with you when you say that you fell in love with the whole process. Because once I entered in the theater, it was the same way. And I, honest to God, truth, I wanted to be in Sweeney Todd, which you know there is
right.
almost absolutely
right.
no black characters in it. Now, how
right.
do you prepare yourself for a piece like that?
Well, you know, I try to, first of all, the most important thing is the script. You know, it's everything. It gives you all the information that you need. And if there are things that you that are not in the script that you have to suss out, then you do it based on what the script does give you. I don't think it behooves you as an actor or the piece in general is if you just start making stuff up, even if it's the slightest details that the script gives you. That's the basis for everything that develops and comes, and it will grow from that point on. But the germ starts with the script, and so for me, it's really about the marriage of the imagination and the written word, you know, and that's where the individuality of each actor really shines through, because you can go see a play with two different actors in the same role, you know, you can see them one night and then see the next night, and you'll see two different plays almost, you know, because mm-hmm. of the because if you happen to have two really strong individuals that come from a different place, you're gonna see a different piece. That's what's exciting about being an actor and being an audience, especially when you go see a play, you know.
Definitely. Definitely.
No.
Thank you
no
for answering
doubt.
That. So.
No doubt. Now, Mike, you know, we always have a lot of, you know, we've had definitely a lot of up and coming actors and actresses on the show, and you know that's involved in some great plays, stage plays, and you know, great up and coming movies and indie movies. You know, for some of the newbies and some of the new actors and actresses coming up in the business, and you know, just wanting to be strong in Hollywood and strong in entertainment. What advice do you give to some of the new guys and new girls coming up in this business?
Well, the main thing I always say, because I've been an acting teacher for a long time as well, but it's about preparation, man. It's about you know, that moment where you do have that opportunity, and you are prepared for it, because you've always been one who knows that, look, I need to study, I need to get ready for that moment where my skills are warranted, and my skills now will be the deciding factor as to whether or not I get this job, you know. Of course, taking into account all the things that we have to go through as actors on film and TV, you know, are you the right height, or you overweight, too overweight, or too short, or too old or young? Those things you can't do anything about, but your performance, your 10 minutes in that audition room is what you prepare for all your life. It's like a surgeon, you know, when he gets in there and operates, it's just not that time when he's in the operating room that matters. It's all the years and the time and the effort that he's put in or she's put in that lead up to them being able to sit there in front of that patient and really feel confident that they're going to save that person's life or do the best possible job that they can. It's the same way, you know, and of course we don't save lives and actors, but it's the same idea in terms of preparation.
Right.
So many people, they just think there's a magic pill and, you know, I'm naturally gifted and naturally talented and I'm just going to come in and I'm just going to shine and nobody has my kind of talent and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you're really shooting yourself in your foot if that's what you think. You know, there are a lot of actors out here and there's a lot of talent out here. And if you want to beat those people out, then you better prepare. You better study and you better know what you're doing and how you do it and discover whatever process that really works for you.
You know, I find it interesting, and I thank you so much for your advice, definitely to the up-and-coming actors and actresses. But, you know, I find it really interesting. You know, we had Gary Sturgis on the show from Daddy's Little Girls and quite a few other really great movies. But we had him on the show with us, and, you know, we were talking about the same thing and talking about Hollywood and entertainment and, you know, what it takes to really make it big. and it's business for those that are really trying hard to do so. But, you know, he mentioned, you know, he said, you know what, D, he says, I hate to say this. He says, no, he says, when you hear the phrase, you know, the standard phrase, it's not what you know, it's who you know. He says, unfortunately, that is so true in Hollywood. He said, it's, you know, there's a lot of talented actors and actresses out there, but he says a lot of them get passed over, a lot of them don't get recognized, he says, because a lot of times it's really, really who you know in this business.
Well, you know what, I agree and I disagree, and I think I mostly disagree because, you know, when you say it's who you know, when you start out, you know, I mean, most actors, you know, they don't have relatives in the movie business when they start out.
Right.
I mean, those that do, you know, some of them flame out too and they don't make it. But
exactly.
When I started out, I didn't know anybody. I didn't know what anything was. I had no idea. But this whole idea of making it and becoming big and, you know, first of all, that's part of the problem, you know, the idea of thinking that, oh, you're just going to come out here and make it big.
Exactly.
What you should be thinking about is honing your craft and creating an ability to where you can actually support yourself and do what you love and make a living at it. And because in this business, if you make a living at what you do, then you are successful because, you know, 96-97% of actors don't support themselves solely from acting. And that's, I'm just talking about the people in the union, you know. So forget about all the people that are not in the unions, you know. But
right.
Who you know is based on your resume. And your resume is based on how much hard work you've put in. So if you out here, you look at guys like Morgan Freeman, Sam Jackson, you know, who were they before they were who they were? They were hardworking actors that came in, kicked ass, did their thing.
That's real.
People started taking notice, you know, and hard work wins. You know, it's like if you go out there and you know, who was Denzel Washington? Who's Denzel Washington's father? You know,
that's
who's
real.
His mother? Who knew him? You know, this is a, you know, you can go down the line, Don Cheadle, you know, all these dudes. They worked hard. They built strong reputations for being professionals, showing up on time. You know, forget about the acting. We all know they kick ass acting-wise. But in
that's
terms
real.
Of... In terms of the nuts and bolts things that we do that represent who we are and what we have to offer, you know, that's called work. That's called putting it in. And the idea that you have to know people, and look, don't get me wrong, there's some truth in that, but it's not, I don't think that's the norm. And you can't say, well, Denzel Washington gets jobs now because everybody knows who he is. Well, why does everybody know who he is?
Right.
You know what
because
I mean?
Because of the talent
so,
that he has.
Yeah, so I, you know, I'm, yes, there's some truth to that, but I really, honestly, I think it's a cop-out, you know, in to some degree. If you want to get in this business, and you think that you know, you're going to come out here to Hollywood and next year you're going to be starring in the film, you know, that makes $500 million and you're going to win an Oscar and all of that stuff, well, you're going to get slapped in the face pretty hard because that ain't going to happen.
That's real.
You got to come out here ready to put the work in and let the chips fall where they may.
Right.
I mean, You said Morgan Freeman. Hell, I remember Morgan Freeman on Electric Company. If we get
exactly.
real, I mean.
Exactly.
I mean,
and,
I
you know,
remember
Morgan
on
and Sam,
company.
You know, they were around for years before. I think they were both really in their 40s, close to 50, before they really started really hitting it out the park, you know, in terms of how everybody else, what everybody else saw. But, you know, they were doing their work long before that, you know.
That's real. That's true. Now, has there been a role that you said no to that you wish you would have said yes to?
There've been a couple, but I don't think there've been a couple and a couple of things that I was very close to getting, and it turned out I had, and then it was, you know, it was recast, not, you know, before I even got on the job, you know, stuff like
right.
that. But I don't really, you know, a lot of people go, oh, it must have devastated you, and it must have,
right,
oh, wow.
Right.
And
right.
you know what, man, it's been almost 30 years, and I just, you know, I try not to, I don't get too high or too low when it comes to this job, this business. I mean, I love it, but it is a job. Most of my time is spent with my family, and obviously it's important that I work because I have to support my family, but
absolutely.
But I love being on the set. I love all that. I love that stuff, but it really, the ends, the means is just to live a comfortable life with my family and make sure that my wife and kids have a roof over their head and, you know, live a decent life, you know. So I don't, you know, that's why I'm not, I mean, and I have nothing against it because this is a business, but that's why you don't see me, you know, at a lot of parties or screenings or premieres or, I think the one thing I kind of regret, I'm not really sure if I do or not, but if, you know, maybe 20 years ago when things were, you know, I was younger and hotter and in terms of the business, that I didn't start doing some of that stuff. You know, I didn't get the
right.
publicist and do all, you know, play the game that is Hollywood, that allows you to move up and make more money and be in certain things. But at the same time, I really don't regret it because I still make a nice living, and I would hate to be the guy that, you know, has to, or at least feel he has to walk around with bodyguards and not be bothered by people. I mean, I have people come up and talk to me, but it's nice. It's cool because it's not, I don't get mobbed and I don't get hassled, and every once in a while, people will come up to me, and I like to say hi and thank you, and just go about my business. I like that.
That's real. That's real, and it's not too much. It's not a whole lot of pressure, and it's not, you know, it's just people coming up, being friendly, and just saying, "Hey, I recognize you, and I recognize your work. Thank you so much."
Right. Yeah. Usually, I mean,
that's cool.
Every once in a while, there's some crazy person, but but in general, you know, in general,
every,
it's
every
all
now, every,
you know,
every
it's
now
all
and
good.
Then you may get a boy,
you know.
Every now and then you may get a boiled rabbit or something like that, but that's about it.
Yeah, exactly.
let me ask you this. Do you have any new TV, television or film projects coming up that the fans definitely love, like to hear about?
Well, right now I'm doing, well, we just finished it, but it's still airing, the Client List on Lifetime.
Right.
With Jennifer Love Hewitt and Loretta Devine. She and I play, we're romantically linked. I pretty much did their whole second season, and it's
okay.
running now. It comes on Sunday nights, and, you know, I finished up. The Game is still running. I don't think I show
right.
up anymore on The Game.
Right.
You know, and I actually have a film coming out, Insidious 2.
Oh wow, you're gonna be in that.
Yeah, I got a nice little thing in
oh,
Insidious.
Oh wow. I mean, I actually liked the first movie. I thought the first movie, it was different.
Yeah.
It was definitely a different type of storyline, and I really liked it. And I was wondering whether or not they were gonna do a part two. Man, I definitely can't wait to see that.
I think it comes out in August or so. I don't really know for sure. I haven't heard specifically, but yeah, that was fun. I love that guy, James Wan. He's the director. He's actually getting ready to do, he's prepping to do Fast and Furious 7.
Six. Oh, 7. Yeah,
yeah,
I've
6
heard
is coming
that.
Out, but he's about
right.
to about to do 7, you know. So
wow.
Yeah, he was a great guy, and I did a pilot for NBC called Crisis. And I think we'll hear in the next 6 days or so if they're gonna if it's gonna be a fall show next this September on NBC.
Now, are you able to tell us a little bit about it, a little bit about the pilot crisis and what it entails?
Well, essentially it's a political thriller.
Okay.
And it's kind of cool. The concept is, I don't know how much I can actually say, but
right.
it involves, you know, the most powerful people in this country, really. And
oh, wow. Okay.
I play the director of the FBI, and
I like it.
And it's got, you know, Gillian Anderson from the X-Files is in it. And,
oh, wow, okay.
You know,
okay.
Lance Gross, you know Lance Gross?
Yes, definitely.
My man he's playing a badass Secret Service dude, you know. And it's a great script, and I think it, you know, the NBC seems to be liking it, but you never know if a pilot gets picked up or not. So we're just waiting to hear on that. And if it does go, I'll be doing that. And if it doesn't, hopefully I'll be back on Sons of Anarchy this coming season.
I love
season.
That show. Absolutely love you in that show. Yeah,
yeah, thanks, man. Yeah, I've been a biker for a long time, and I love anytime I can do anything where I get to ride a bike, I'm there.
You there.
Exactly.
I noticed that, it's just, you know, something like Elio said, you know, so many things that you're involved in and with television and film. Are there any other things outside of television and film that you involve yourself in that you're passionate about?
In the business wise or something else completely?
General. Right, right.
Oh, well, you know, I still do theater from time to time. It's a little harder.
Right.
But I have five children, and my first four are with my first wife, my ex-wife
right.
now, and three of them are in their 20s, so they're off doing their thing. One of them is an actress, and then I have one who's about to be 16, but my baby son is 2.5, and he's incredible, man. He actually, when he was 8 months old, he had to have open heart surgery.
Oh, wow.
He was born with a heart defect that we didn't know about until he was 3 months old. And we thought we could wait for, almost 2 years before, you know, to get him stronger before he had to have this surgery. But as it turned out, you know, things were not progressing as well as we had hoped they would. And so he had to have his surgery at 8 months old. And it was, you know, it was the most difficult moment of my life that day, you know, not just the moment
Absolutely.
That day, but at the same time, it was, you know, everything turned out fantastically. So it was also the best day of my life. And my wife and I do a few things, for a few children's causes, and he got operated on at the Children's Hospital here in L.A., and it was just a fantastic, fantastic hospital, and the care they give to the children is just amazing. And then, you know, when you have children in that hospital, they're getting brain surgery and heart surgery,
right.
I mean, just these, you know, major surgeries. And you can just imagine what parents go through, and then what the kids have to go through.
Definitely, more so for the kids. Yeah.
Yeah. So it, you know, that kind of thing. My wife deals with nonprofit organizations that deal with other things, but mostly children, and she teaches children, and so we kind of immerse ourselves in that outside of, you know, what I do professionally.
No doubt. Well, that's phenomenal, and it's good to see you know, celebrities and entertainers like yourself, you know, being involved in. And I think what makes it important is that, you know, you can relate to it a lot more because you've gone through it yourself and you've dealt
right.
with those situations, so it's easier to be able to relate to and help, you know, other nonprofit organizations or children and, you know,
right.
to
yeah.
and parents to deal with this and go through this. So it's definitely great to see people like yourself doing involved in things like that and being able to pass on your wonderful story and your wonderful you know, in situations and things that you go through onto other people to help them be able to deal with their current situation, you know. And you know, like you said, it's hard for parents and it's hard for kids to be able to go through something like that. So it's really good to see, you know, you working on something as passionate as that.
Yeah, and it, the main thing is that it just really, I mean, it makes you so aware of, you know, what's really important, you know what
exactly.
I mean? Don't get me wrong, I love what I do, and I think, you know, we all have our, you know, we all have our gifts and our talents and what
that's
and
true.
How we give back to the world and make a living at the same time, but I think ultimately we are, you know, helping other people get through, and you know what, even if nobody knows about it, but the people that you're helping, you know, that has real value too, you know.
No doubt. Now, lastly, you I know you're a sports fan, I take it.
Well, you know, I was a huge sports fan, but over the years, which my wife appreciates very much, I don't spend a lot of time, you know, Sunday in front of the TV.
Right.
And
right.
Matter of fact, I actually don't even have cable or DirecTV. You know, we got rid of that because we just, you know, we didn't want our kids spending so much time in front of the TV.
In front of the TV, right.
You know, so we do have the internet. But you know, you can't watch live TV and so it's been I think a good thing for our son.
Did you have a favorite basketball team or football team?
Well, you know, I mean, being from Boston and then spending much of my life in New York.
Right.
You know, it was always those two teams which weren't really
right.
friendly to each other. But,
That's true.
I was always torn. But I gotta tell you, I was happy when the Patriots first started after all those years started actually making noise and winning some Super Bowls and when the Red
yeah,
Sox,
they,
you know,
it was quiet
even
for a
longer.
While.
Huh?
The Patriots was quiet for a while before
they were quiet for a while, but they weren't quiet as the Red Sox were.
No, that's real. No, I mean,
when those boys traded Babe Ruth, it all went downhill.
No, that's true.
Yeah,
that's
so
true.
So, but you know, Boston, man, they are no joke when it comes to sports teams. I mean,
yeah,
you got to give
up.
It to
Absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely.
I mean,
time.
You know what other city has, you know, all of their sports franchise, you know, won the big ring, you know, or the Stanley Cup or what, you know, it's Boston's no joke. But,
Chicago has, with the exception of the Cubs, but you know, I don't want to throw that out there like that. You know,
whenever you have to say with the exception of, then you've just put a hole in your whole argument.
You know, I mean, you know, we produce one of the greatest basketball players to ever play the game. You know, so I mean,
well,
yeah,
first of all, he's not from Chicago, but so, you know, you gave him the venue. You know,
no doubt. Okay, that's real.
And to me, and maybe it's because, you know, he and I are the same age, but to me,
right.
he's not one of. He is the greatest.
Hey,
you know what I mean?
And you know, you always hear so many people, you know, a friend of mine, we were talking about that today. You know, you always hear so many people trying to compare other players to him. They're trying to compare Kobe to him. They're trying to compare LeBron to him. And I'm sorry, those are some incredible players. but I've never seen any player do half the things that I've seen him do. You know,
that's real, man. That's the truth. I mean, and again, it's no disrespect because you know Kobe and LeBron, they are bad. There's no question about it.
Absolutely.
But that's MJ. You can't even. I mean, do we even really need to discuss it? I mean, you know what I mean?
Not at all.
That's true. No doubt. Well, Mike, I want to say first and foremost, man, we had a wonderful time with you, man. We had a ball with you on the show. It was an absolute honor to have you on the show with us. I definitely can't wait because I'm a big horror fan. I definitely can't wait to see you in Insidious 2. That was some great news for me because I was wondering whether or not they were going to do a part two. So I definitely can't wait to see that and see you as well Sons of Anarchy. And I hope that NBC does pick up Crisis because it sounds like a wonderful show.
Well, you know, if it does, we'll be shooting in Chicago.
Oh, see, that's even better. That's even better.
I thought you'd like that.
That's even better. Yeah, I definitely can't wait to. I definitely can't wait to hear about that and any of the other endeavors that you're going to be involved in and any other TV shows or film movie projects. We definitely can't wait to see that. Leo, you have any closing comments for Mike?
Oh, thank you. Definitely. Thank you for coming out. Now, would you be willing to reach out to any aspiring artists or actors or actresses with, like, your contact or anything like that, or anyone contacting you for help or anything like that? Would you be interested?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, for years I've also been an acting teacher, and I taught I've been teaching off and on for about 22 years.
Okay.
It was never to make a living at, you know. I mean, I charged whatever it was to help me pay for whatever place I was renting out, you know, whatever space. But really, it was just because I just wanted to, you know, share whatever I could share with them and help them, you know, navigate through this crazy business because it is a crazy business.
That's true.
You know, and I look on Facebook and Twitter. You know, I've always tried to answer people's questions and you know, give them my opinion on whatever situation they're going through. It gets hard because there's a lot of people hit me up, but I try to I try to answer them as much as possible. You know.
Okay, and what are those links?
Well, my Twitter is Michael Beach, my name, Michael Beach, the number 5. And I say it's because I have 5 children, but the truth is I was so late to Twitter. I've only been on for maybe a year now that Michael Beach 1234 was taken.
Right.
You know?
And you didn't realize there was so many of them.
Yeah, I was like, what? And you know, I can't do like actor Michael Beach or the real Beach or, you know, I couldn't live with myself if I put that on there, you know. So I'm just Michael Beach 5. And
there it is.
And my Facebook is just Michael Beach, but, you know, I've gotten to the place where I can't accept any more friends, but it's open to whoever wants to, you know, hit me. They can just
That's
hit
real.
Me. You know.
No okay. doubt.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Leo, I mean, I definitely got, you know, Mike's information. So, I mean, you know, of course you get, you know, a little bit more privilege than, you know, other individuals. But I just want to say, Mike, on behalf of the DIY Radio Network, man, we had an absolute wonderful time with you. And as far as we're concerned, man, you're no longer a guest. You're a family member to the network. You're a family member to the show, man. You're welcome here anytime.
Appreciate
we're gonna
it.
Keep on. We're gonna keep on supporting you and everything that you're doing. In and out of entertainment and just in life in general, man. We're gonna keep supporting you, and definitely telling everybody about your new endeavors. And again, you know, you're a family member on this network now, man. We had an absolutely wonderful time with you, and definitely can't wait to get you back on the show again.
My pleasure, man. Well, hit me up anytime.
Absolutely, Mike. And thank you so much, bro. And you have a blessed night tonight.
All right. You too. Take care, guys.
All right. You too.
All right. Later.
Ladies and gentlemen, DIY Radio Network, that was the one and only, the sensational Mr. Michael Beach. joining us tonight on the D Hour Radio Network, getting it in, had a wonderful time with him. A lot of pertinent information, a lot of great information, definitely for up and coming actors and actresses. And for those up and coming actors and actresses that were listening, Michael said he's been teaching, you know, actors and actresses, you know, for over 20 years. So, you know, if you guys got questions and things that you're not sure about in this business, you definitely make sure you hit him up on Twitter and Facebook. And like you said, he'll definitely be able to try to answer as many questions as he can, and they'll definitely be able to help the next generation. And that's truly what it's all about, helping the next generation come into their own and to definitely give us some more great television and, you know, great film. And because, you know, this reality show nonsense is getting out of hand. And we need some more real TV, and we need some more real, you know, film, you know, real movies going on. So because they're doing so many damn remakes, you know, they're going to remake the remake. You know what I mean? It's going to get crazy. They're going to start remaking the remakes. You know, so we need some more talent out there. You know, we need you guys to just, you know, to step it up and take control of your destiny. And, you know, and if that's what you want to do, definitely push yourself and get yourself out there. And don't hide your talent, man. Put it out there and put it to use. And you never know. And, you know, somebody can say yes, somebody can say no. That's all I can really say to you. You know, it's not going to damage, you know, your will. It's not going to damage you or your personality or you as a person or your character. If you're definitely a strong individual, then you know, that's not something to worry about. You know, take a chance and get out there and, you know, definitely give yourself an opportunity, because you don't want to regret not giving yourself a chance. And that's what it's truly all about. We got a couple more hits we're gonna play. And when we come back, hopefully we'll be talking to the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis from the hit BET show Let's Stay Together. Definitely make sure you guys don't go nowhere. We still got real men talking. Me and Eliel going to be talking real hardcore for you guys tonight, because it goes down. You already know it goes down real when real men talking are talking. Before I kick off these two hits real quick, Eliel, did you see just recently, bro, in the news, there were some young ladies who are you know, when they were girls or they were teenagers, were kidnapped back in the early 2000s. And it was about three of them that was kidnapped, and they were just found recently. They were just found, and it was in Ohio. These young ladies, Amanda Berry was one of them, but they were kidnapped back in 2002, 2003, 2004, and they were just 10 years later, bro, they were just found. Wow. So these three guys, this dude and his brothers, were holding these girls, were holding these girls kidnapped and for hostage for about 10 years.
That's crazy. What was their condition? Were they?
Well, that's what I mean. So far, they seem to be okay. One of the girls had a baby, so I'm gonna assume that it was by one of the gentlemen that was holding them hostage. But one of the girls had a kid. She had a daughter. And what the sad part about it is the young lady, I think the young lady Amanda, her mom was looking for her for so long and, you know, trying to, you know, retrace the steps and trying to find her, man. They said that they think that her mom, back in 06, they think her mom passed away of a broken heart.
Wow.
You know, because she couldn't find her daughter, and 10 years later, her daughter's calling the police, 911 calling the police, telling them who she is, and she needs some help. So the police got there, and you know, she told them about the other girls, and they got in there and got them out, and arrested the three gentlemen that was holding them. And the sad part about it is that the crazy part about it is that it was within the same neighborhood.
That doesn't make sense to me, though. I'll definitely have to dig into that story, because it's like, you know, 10 years gone past, you had a child. So that means you went in and out of the hospital. Your name went through the system or something.
I mean, you never know. That's what I'm saying. It's crazy, man. And like I said, you know, the fact that it was within the same neighborhood, that's wild, man. I mean,
that's even
wild. I don't know, man. I don't know what's going on, lately, man, but it's been getting ridiculous out here. I mean, it's good to see that these young ladies were found and that they are safe, man, because, I mean, that's a parent's nightmare. You know, your kids get kidnapped and go missing, and you don't know where they are. You're losing your mind because you don't know what's going on with them. You don't know whether or not they're safe. And that's a parent's nightmare, man. And I'm telling you, I'm out there like the Punisher. You know, somebody grab mine, I'm out there like the Punisher. I'm just being
right.
real.
Did you catch
played
the
out there like
Call?
The Punisher. I'm out there
Did
like
you catch
the Punisher.
The movie Call with Halle Berry?
Yes.
And how they was just saying, like, it's a person that's kidnapped, haven't been found in the first 48 hours is more than likely that they died, and then 10 years passed. It's unbelievable almost. But I'm thankful that they were found. But it's some missing pieces to the story somewhere.
It is. It definitely is. And like I said, man, it's you know, I know people were cheering and happy that these young ladies were found. She was kidnapped when she was 20 or 21, bro, and now she's in her 30s.
Wow.
You know, one of the girls was kidnapped when she was a teenager. Now she's like, what, 25, 26.
And all at ages, you know, with, you said it was in the 2000s, so technology
right.
has so much advancements and enhancements. To just be missing for that amount of time and not be able to contact anyone, it just seems outrageous. I'm just sorry. It doesn't seem logical.
Man, it's crazy, bro. And like I said, I'm just glad that those young ladies were found and justice is going to be taken care of with these guys that did that. That's some craziness, man. Like I said, that's a parent's nightmare. And
yeah.
I'm telling you right now, I'm out there like the Punisher, for real. So... You know, I mean, there's no way to even sum it up. You know, I mean, all the parents out there that are listening right now can relate to what I'm talking about. That's a nightmare, and you definitely don't want to go through nothing like that. I know some cats are saying that, you know, their daughters, you know, that they have, you know, this one guy I know, he was like, man, my daughter go everywhere I go.
Right.
He say she is in my sight. Where I can see her and where I can know what's going on. I know some cats was like, I'm ready to take my kid to the hospital and put a chip in them.
I can definitely concur with that. Like I don't even in the same.
Cats is like I'm ready to put a chip
building,
in. Cats is like I'm ready to put a chip in my kid.
Right. I don't let my little one out of my sight, on my hands, on my clock. Oh, there's not a door that's going to be closed.
Nah, it's not happening. It's not happening. But definitely very happy that, you know, those young ladies were found. We got a couple of hits. The Hour Radio Network, D-Slate, L.E.O., Brothers is in the building. We got some hits. And like I said, hopefully when we come back, we'll be talking to the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis from the hit BET comedy series, Let's Stay Together. Always going down. You already know how we got. It's my man Macklemore with the hit, with his new hit single, Can't Hold Us. It's going down. Let's go.
For a better way to get up out of bed instead of getting on the internet and checking a new hit. Me get up, first shot, come strut walking. A little bit of humble, a little bit of cautious. Somewhere between like Rocky and Cosby for the game. Nope, y'all can't copy up. Glad, moonwalking. And this here is our party. My posse's been on Broadway, and we did it all way. Chrome music, I shed my skin and put my bones into everything I record to it. And yeah, I'm on. Let that stage light go and shine on down. Got that Bob Barker suit game and Plinko in my style. Money, stay on my craft and stick around for those pounds. But I do that to pass the torch and put on for my town. Trust me, on my INDEPENDENT cusp. Chasing dreams since I was 14 with the four track busting. Halfway across that city with the
tell me nothing. We give it to the people, spread it across the country.
Here we go back, this is the moment. Tonight is the night, we'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Here we go. Go fronts, but that's what you get when Wu-Tang raised you. Y'all can't stop me. Go hard like I got an 808 in my heartbeat. And I'm eating at the beat like it gave a little speed to a great white shark on shark. We rock. Gonna go off, gone. Who says goodbye? I got a world to see. And my girl, she wanna see Rome. Caesar make you a believer. Nah, I never ever put it for a throne. That validation comes from giving it back to the people. Now sing this song and it goes like, raise those hands, this is our party. We came here to live life like nobody was watching. I got my city right behind me. If I fall, they got me. Learn from that failure, gain humility, and then we keep marching.
And we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. We go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us. And we go back. This is the moment. Tonight is the night. We'll fight till it's over. So we put our hands up like the ceiling can't hold us. Like the ceiling can't hold us.
Don't be stupid. Don't drink and drive. If you're going to go out and have a good time, it's fine. But designate a driver to drive home. Let's stop the madness. Don't drink and drive.
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Yeah, welcome back. Welcome back, D-Hour Radio Network. D Slate and the boys is in the building. The brothers of the D-Hour Radio Network getting it in tonight. You already know how we do it. You just got through listening to my man D Scott with Center of Attention. Before that was the lovely ladies of Chick Bang Theory with Digging You. Then you heard my man Macklemore with Can't Hold Us. It goes down like that. Mama CK, our brothers in the building.
Boy, what's going on, brothers?
Did you get the food, bro? Just tell us, did you get the food?
Yeah, I got the food. I checked it during the break.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, y'all know how it is when you at Burger King. They say, have it your way. So we up in there like, okay, give me a couple of fried egg sandwiches, some fried bologna, you know, some fried chicken. Give me some greens. Don't tell us have it your way and you ain't going to make it our way. That's all we're saying.
I mean, all that time, you must have had a complicated order. So,
there was a chicken sandwich that ordered the left side of the menu, and I was like, damn, can we get through this? You know, so, I mean.
Elio, you know how it is. Sometimes a cat will say, hold the mayo and the onions. That's so difficult. It takes them about 15 minutes just to figure that one out.
Right.
You know, I'm just saying, though, you know.
We had to call the manager back.
we was talking about the fight earlier. Did you get a chance to see the fight, Mayweather and Mr. Guerrero?
No, I didn't get a chance to see it, but I heard all about it. I was like, wow. Didn't even seem it lasted long too. So like, wow.
Hey, yeah, I mean it went all 12 rounds, like I was telling Elio earlier, and the question was everybody was wondering whether or not Mayweather still had it, you know, whether or not he was still fast. Hey, don't get me wrong. Guerrero wanted it, man. He really wanted to fight. He really wanted to win, you know, but Mayweather was too fast for him, man. He was too fast for him. Mayweather just kept tagging the dude with the right, man. He was playing with him. He was observing him, watching the dude, trying to just peeping his style, and Mayweather kept hitting him with them left jabs, and he's down dancing around, and he just every round he just kept tagging him with that right. He kept tagging him with that right, and the dude Guerrero was throwing some haymakers and some punches at him, but he was missing them. I mean, the only time he was truly hitting Mayweather was when they was up on each other, hugged up on each other like they do in boxing matches, and that was his. At that time, that's when he was taking that opportunity to hit Mayweather in the face while they all hugged up on each other or hitting him in the body. But when they was like truly, you know, boxing, they was truly standing in front of each other and fighting. But Guerrero can barely get a hit in because Mayweather kept dodging all his punches. You know, when they asked him at the end, of the fight, they said, "Well, you know, how do you feel about, you know, what Guerrero's father, you know, was talking about?" Because he was saying, "Oh, he's a chicken," and he was dancing around. And Mayweather said, "You know," he said, "First of all, I'm back with my father again. I'm training with my father, and my father told me that if I want to be successful and last in this business, in the business of boxing, he says I can't be taking hits to the face. I can't be taking hits to the head. So, you know, it's all about dodging the hits and not getting hit." He said, "If I want to last in this business, I can't be taking hits."
Right.
You know, and that's real talk. I mean, they want to talk about, you know, him dancing around. I mean, unfortunately, Muhammad Ali was doing the same thing. You know, he did the same thing. I mean, when Ali fought, he danced around. It was, you know, competitors barely, you know, opponents barely had a hard time trying to hit him as well. So, I mean, all I'm saying is that Mayweather had a point when he said, if you want to last in this business, if you want to last in this boxing entertainment and be successful and have longevity, you can't be taking hits to the face. You can't be taking hits to the grill."
Right.
I mean, that's just real talk. You can't take hits to the grill if you want to be successful. So congratulations to my man Mayweather
for the win. He went all 12 rounds. It was a unanimous decision because, like I said, he hit that dude with a couple of combinations. I swear, I think he hit the dude one time, and the dude ran over to the side of the ring and asked the referee if he can go order if you can order me a couple of pizzas. I really don't know what that was all about, but I'm just saying that just looked like that's what he was doing. You know, people was probably, oh, you tripping? No, I ain't tripping. I'm just saying. Now I watched the fight, you know, and then plus. Like I told Elio earlier, Lil Wayne came out with Mayweather, and you know, he was rapping and he was doing his thing. I guess Lil Wayne is endorsing, you know, Mayweather now, and it's not 50 Cent anymore. And we don't really need to go into all of that, but I guess apparently Lil Wayne is endorsing Mayweather now. He was out there supporting him and, you know, with him. And again, congratulations to him. Also, you know, we're in the NBA playoffs right now, and a lot of people are happy with, you know, some of their teams, and a lot of people are unhappy with some of their teams. And some people's teams was eliminated, like them whack-ass Lakers. But I'm really not going to go into all of that with the Lakers, though. But I'm not going to go into all of that with the Lakers. But I just want to congratulate one of the greatest teams in NBA history, you know what I'm saying, the Chicago Bulls, for taking out the Nets and taking down the Miami Heat in the first game. Oh, it's going down, and I'm going to tell you right now, you guys better be ready for it. Get ready, because the Bulls is going to the finals. They're going to the finals, baby. That's all I'm talking about. Now,
I mean,
ladies.
No,
what you got, Elio? What you got, bro, real quick?
I definitely commend them, because, you know, they lost one of their key players, and I've seen
them
ball. And
they still making it big. That's right.
They're doing it. But, yeah, go ahead, what you got to do?
They got about 3 or 4 dudes sick and injured, and they're still getting it in, and that's what you call real players. That's real basketball players right there. I mean, and don't even get me started on Michael Jordan, you know what I'm saying? So don't even get me started on that. That's a whole other story. That's a whole other story.
You know what I mean? Hands down, that's just a whole other species right there. No competition when it comes to that comparison. He's a whole other category. You can't do that. I wouldn't even disrespect his game.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's our time to introduce our last and most beautiful guest for tonight. Nadine is as adept at portraying strong, sexy women as she is portraying vulnerable and complicated characters. Nadine is currently starring in the third season of Let's Stay Together, BET's first original scripted comedy. In this romantic comedy, Nadine plays Dr. Stacy Lawrence, the beautiful Dr. Stacy Lawrence, a fully practicing pediatrician who marries the contractor she hires to remodel her kitchen. A wonderful TV series, and they're in season 3 right now. Soon after, Nadine has become a very in-demand actress. She guest starred on virtually every hit television show, including ER, 2.5 Men, and Flash Forward, and most recently Bones and Touch. Among others, she also reoccurred on the hit Comedy Central series Reno 911. She also appeared in numerous films, including Charlie's Angels Full Throttle, Hairspray, Tropic Thunder, 500 Days of Summer, and Iron Man 2. Nadine loves to teach and inspire others. Ladies and gentlemen, please give a warm The Hour Radio Network welcome to the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis.
Hey. How are you?
Well, hello, Nadine. Well, how you doing?
I'm doing really well after hearing all that. Man, I was like, yeah, I've got some stuff. Right.
That's right. We had to put it out there and let everybody know that you've been doing some stuff. Absolutely. And I definitely want to take this opportunity to thank you so much for joining us. It's our pleasure, and it's an honor to have you on the show with us tonight. So thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. Now, definitely my first question for you is about, of course, the hit series on BET, Let's Stay Together. Tell us a little bit more about the show and how you got started with that.
The show is really kind of an ensemble show. We have 6 cast members now. We started off with 5, and then we added Kyla Pratt, who's amazing, and has made the show that much richer, funnier, better. And it's really about family. It's myself, my husband. I have a sister who is married to a lawyer, and they have twin 1 year olds. And then my husband now. And when the show first started, we were engaged, but we've seen the maturity of this couple and their family. And then my husband has his sister who's kind of wilding out at all times, and then and now his cousin played by Kyla Pratt. So. We have a nice assortment of people of different kinds of occupations. You know, we're really just trying to represent all colors and tones of our people. You know, so and it's what's been great is the feedback from everyone is like it's just great to see a show that celebrates us and it's not buffoonery. It's not another another tone of just kind of what we've seen for so many years. So that's been amazing. That's been the most amazing part, the feedback.
Well, it's an amazing show. You know, I've seen it several times. I know a lot of my friends and family members I know definitely watch it, and it's definitely an amazing show. So congratulations to the success of third season.
Thank you.
Definitely congratulations to the success of the show. Now, before I really get started, before I really get started, I know my co-host has some questions. Leo, do you have any questions for Ms. Nadine Ellis?
I do. I have a few questions for you. How you doing, by the way?
Really good. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Okay, now, I know you was mentioning some things about how TV has come to be and what Let's Stay Together is trying to portray. Now, how do you feel like the show business of TV sitcoms has transcended from, you know, the TV shows like Martin Living Single to what we have today? How did you feel? Do you feel like it's a great downfall? Do you feel like it's making its way back to real TV? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think there was a few years there where we just kind of disappeared from television. The black sitcom disappeared. We all obviously remember Martin Living Single, and then Girlfriend, The Game when it was on CW. And then there was probably a 3-4 year pocket, I know, just being an actor here in LA, you know, you kind of depended on those auditions for those shows that slowly started to disappear. And so when we came back, when BET decided to kind of pick up that torch and fly it as high as it possibly could, you know, I think our people and quite frankly, everyone was just kind of yearning to see upwardly mobile people, black people or people of color on television again in a sitcom. And I think it's just a beautiful thing to see that we're kind of back in the running. And of course there's, you know, Tyler Perry has definitely put his stamp on, what he does. We have shows like Are You There Yet with Ice Cube. I mean, people are definitely taking a step forward and demanding and producing television shows that include us. Because otherwise, you know, it's here and there. I mean, it's gotten so much better, obviously, but we're still not prominently where I think we could be. So it's nice to see that we're getting a shot, you know.
Okay, now what made you decide to step on the stage? Like, I want you in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
Where did you get the passion and drive to be on stage?
Well, years ago when I was 3 years old in Queens, New York. No, not that far back, but I started off as a dancer. I started off initially, dance was my first love, and my parents are Jamaican, so they said, yeah, you can dance all you want, but you're going to school, you're getting a degree in something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of found myself in New York, going to New York Institute of Technology and getting a communications degree, but still, you know, I was dancing for the Knicks at the time. I was a Knicks CD dancer, and doing videos and award shows and industrials on the side as I was getting my degree. And dance just kept calling me back. And slowly but surely I started to, you know, I think like the way anybody kind of taps into their dream, it's something that intrigues you and then you kind of go, I think I can do that. And I jumped into a class, an acting class, and I was getting great feedback. And And before I knew it, I was like, ooh, I think I'm good at this. I think this is something that's the right fit. And I remember having this conversation with my father, who, you know, is a very traditional Jamaican man and doesn't like much change. And he said, well, you know, you can't dance forever. And I was like, yeah, I know, but, you know, I'm going to do it while I can. And he goes, well, what do you want to do? And I said, yeah, I'm taking these acting classes. I think I'm good at it. And he goes, well, what do you have to do, like, to make it happen? And I said, I think I have to move to L.A. And my very traditional Jamaican father looked at me and said, so when are you leaving? And that was it for me. I was like, oh, okay.
Oh, wow.
Well, damn it, Daddy. All right, fine. You know, I made a few phone calls. I got in touch with a choreographer, Jamie King, who had hired me for a job with Michael Jackson in New York. He was working on a show out there, and he said, yeah, send me your reel. And sure enough, like a week later, he said, you're hired. You have a month to get here. And made my way to L.A. and really just started studying once I got here, acting-wise.
Oh,
but
wow.
Luckily, I had dance as my day job. So, yeah.
That was definitely amazing. Wow.
Thank you. That's amazing. Yeah.
You already answered my next question, which was, how did that make you feel? You actually showed me how that made you feel. It made you push harder. So I definitely congratulate you on that.
Thank you, man. Thank you. Yeah, very blessed. Very, very blessed.
Now, CK, our co-host CK, you have any questions for Nadine?
I want to say, Nadine, thank you for coming on. We're really glad to have you on here.
Thank you.
First question is, how was the Michael Jackson project that you flew out to work on?
Well, unfortunately, this was, I don't know if you guys remember, this was a while ago. It was when Michael ended up getting sick and he was hospitalized, and it was an HBO special that never happened. But So unfortunately, it never happened, but I got an opportunity to work with him. And I was the Michael Jackson fan that I literally lined my, there was not one spot on my wall in my room that you could see because it was all Michael. And then I started going up to the ceiling, and that's when my father was like, okay, that's enough, stop it. You know, so to have the opportunity to work with that man was mind-blowing. And just even the rehearsal process that we were doing, The Way You Make Me Feel, and he was doing kind of a spin on all of his songs. And so it was kind of an a cappella, really melodic, almost ballad, like a really sexy ballad, like, just kind of consider Michael with Maxwell. It was like a little edge to it. And we, the ladies involved were all cats. So we were in these patent leather, sick cat suits and these crazy heels. And so the one of the very first, the opening moment is Michael on a bench, you know, under a street light on the stage in the darkness, and he kind of starts the song, and then I'm one of the cats, and I came through his legs, and I just remember that moment the first day he was there, like, touching his ankles. I was like, oh my God, I'm touching Michael Jackson's ankle. Freaking out.
I touched his ankle, his kneecap.
I mean, it was unbelievable. It was really, like, the memory alone is worth the hours that I auditioned for the job, even though it never actually came to fruition. But it was it's definitely a beautiful memory that I'll have for a very long time.
Wow. And then that's a wonderful experience, because I'm a big Michael Jackson fan, and just to hear that, just to know that, I know that when you learn of his, that you stop back to that time, and it's just like you're like, wow, you would never thought.
Right, right. Yeah. Who would have ever thought, yeah, that we would have lost him as early as we did.
Right.
But I got to touch his ankle. I touched his ankle.
My next question is, anything in your career that you have not done yet that you're looking forward to do and you have future plans on it?
Yeah, I would love to. You know, I am I'm a musical girl. I love musicals, and I would at some point really love to hit the stage and do a musical. I've choreographed a few musicals in local L.A. theaters, but I've never actually jumped on the stage and done it myself. I was in the film Hairspray with John Travolta as one of the Dynamites, And that was an incredible experience. But I would love to do that. I mean, and of course, there's so many different things that I, and I'm kind of that girl. I'm, you know, I like to dibble dabble in a few different things. And so that probably is one of my number ones, though. As well as, you know, definitely diving deeper into film and specifically action. I love action films, and just being a dancer and using my body as my tool for so many years, it would be just a really cool opportunity to kind of meld the physicality of dance and the emotion of acting and kind of bring them together. So, you know, fingers crossed that a few of those opportunities will find their way to me.
Good luck to you on that, yes.
Thank you, thank you. And some spy stuff. I'm not opposed to being a Bond girl. I don't know if it wasn't included in my bio that you read, but I also just had a great opportunity to work with Idris Elba on a slew of Toyota commercials.
That's interesting because I was definitely going to. I was just about to ask you about that. I heard that you worked with Idris in the Toyota campaign. Tell us about that.
That was unbelievable. So much fun. He was great. It was, and I was actually very surprised because, you know, like we had a stunt driver for, he was in the midst of shooting Luther in the BBC, our show.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I remember.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
And if you guys, I'm sure, if you guys haven't seen it, take the time. Just go ahead and give yourself the gift of Luther. Like, it's on Netflix. It's an amazing, amazing show, and he's amazing in it. And so he was kind of, he just flew in from London, so the first day, I was really there with his stunt driver, so I kind of figured, oh, we're going to do all this stuff with the stunt drivers, and he'll pop him in, and, you know, he'll do, like, a little, you know, 20-mile-per-hour deal, but no, man, he was going full out, like, it was pretty impressive, and I was like, all right now, and for those who haven't seen the commercial, I'll just kind of tease the very first one. You kind of see an older, stately gentleman waiting outside of a theater. He radios clearly, like in a microphone, you know, where are you? And we see Idris kind of in the shadows, and he says, oh, I'm across the street in the Black Avalon. And the older man kind of peruses, looks down the street, and he's like, I don't see an Avalon. He's like, and then Idris says, wait, right there, I'm coming to get you. He swings the car around. The older man jumps into the car. They speed off. And moments later, we see a close-up of the older man, and you see a hand, and the face gets ripped off, and we realize it's a mask, and the older man is, in fact, me. And so it's
wow.
It's very cool. It's very Mission Impossible, very James Bond. I was very excited to be a part of it. And so, you know, there's the three commercials basically tell the story of these spies that are trying to get this crucial information away from the bad guys, who are following in, you know, and a lot of different other cars that are not Toyota. And so we're right now, they've just started airing the second commercial where we get pulled over at a checkpoint and we're not sure if they're going to let us through. And the concept of the commercial is that they know to stop a Black Avalon because the car has been so redesigned and is so sleek and classic now that no one is recognizing this Avalon because they're like they're just assuming that it's another kind of car. And so it's very cool. So check that out, and you can check also a kind of do-it-yourself, if you will, component at Only the Name. It's Toyota / Only the Name. .com, and it's an opportunity for the viewer to become Idris, and I am your spy partner, and we're kind of dipping and diving through the streets of L.A. trying to get away from the bad guys. It's very cool.
Absolutely. That sounds well. Mm-hmm. For everybody, all the listeners that are listening right now, you guys can definitely go to onlythename.com to check it out, and definitely get a peek at this phenomenal Toyota campaign that Miss Ellis is in, and we definitely can't. I've seen it, and I loved it. I absolutely
thank you.
So definitely, guys, if you want to check it out, definitely make sure you go to onlythename.com if you want to take a look at it. Nadine, what I wanted to ask you is, you know, there's a lot of up and coming actors and actresses, and you know, there's so many out there that want to be successful and you know want to be where you are and working so hard to have a successful and a wonderful career in entertainment and in this business and in Hollywood. For a lot of the up and coming actors and the newbies, the new young ladies and young men that are trying to be successful, what advice do you give them, to help them overcome, those obstacles and to help them be, truly successful in Hollywood?
Well, I think one of the main obstacles that I encountered was that the competition is so fierce right now. Everyone really, I think it's kind of heightened, maybe it's just because it's my experience and I'm in it. But it feels like definitely with reality television, when we're seeing someone like NeNe Leakes, who went from reality television to being written into a scripted comedy, it's really sparked the passion or the excitement in a lot of people. So there's a lot of people here who want to be famous. And then there's, out of those people, there's a handful of people who actually want to be actors. And so, but the truth of the matter is that everyone is being thrown in together to audition,
Right.
And so I think one of the hugest challenges is that first of all, for your agent to get you in the door can really be a fight, because if they are seeing 10, let's say they're seeing 10 women who look just like you, who are basically your type, and they're bringing in 6 reality show stars because those women already have a built-in audience, that means they're only really bringing in 4 people that don't have something, that don't have a name, don't have a launching off point. So for you to be number one, even a part of those 4 girls, you have to be so on it, and they have to trust that the casting director has to trust that they can bring you in and you will not make them look bad. You're not going to get so nervous that you're stuttering or you're dropping lines or you're just not there, So I tell everyone to study, 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 because, there's the book Blink by Malcolm Gladwell talks about, 10,000 hours. You've got to put 10,000 hours into anything before you even truly begin to scratch the surface. So,
right.
The idea, I understand that people, we all love films, right? Who doesn't love a great film, no matter what
Absolutely.
The genre is? And so a lot of people, because they love film, they're like, I want to be an actor. And it's really, as I said, I'm finding that it's more about fame. And, and I'm not going to lie, the money is good. Who doesn't want to play, come to work and pretend, get paid a lot of money, and then go do what you do? But if you really want to be someone who is sustainable in this industry, primarily someone that a casting director is going to trust to bring into that room, because it's their name on the line too. They're not bringing in anybody who's going to make them look stupid. You just have to be so on point. So if a phone goes off, if someone sneezes, if the actor you're working with jumps 3 lines, you have to be so on it and show them that you can handle it. So I say study, study, study. It's great to have great headshots and all the surface stuff that we need to kind of do what we do in this industry. But if the foundation isn't there, you might get lucky once, maybe twice, but you will definitely find yourself doing something else and calling yourself an actor. So I say study.
Well, I just want to say that you sound like you had a phenomenal experience, and definitely thank you for that advice. I think it's some wonderful advice, and I truly do hope all of our up and coming actors and actresses that are listening right now definitely take heed to that. And I just want to say, you sound like you had a wonderful Michael Jackson experience too, and I think even a Michael Jackson fan, myself or even CK, I mean, I think I would just be happy if Michael Jackson got mad at me and slapped me with his splinter glove. I would have been happy with that. Oh, Michael Jackson slapped me, so
right.
I would have probably just been happy with that, So, I definitely wanted to ask you, has there been a role or a film that's come out within the last few years that you would have loved to have been involved in?
There's so many. I as I said, I'm a huge action. Like Avatar is one of those films that. I just think like it was just such a beautiful message and just so beautifully done. And it's one of those films that's like, you know, if that thing comes on HBO or whatever, I'm like, damn it, I'm just in for the next 3 hours watching it. You know, it's just one of those for me.
Right.
You know. Another, you know, The Matrix. I mean, I know that's a little longer than 5 years ago, but I do have a love with sci-fi action. You know, and there's even a, you know, definitely Mission Impossible: The Last, Ghost Protocol was pretty good, and I mean, there's quite a few and comedies as well. Even you know, Think Like a Man, which I thought was, I sat in that theater watching that movie, going yes, like it just felt like. This was a comedy that you could pop Kate Hudson and Jennifer Lopez, you know, but you could pop in any other race and it still worked, you know, and I thought it was just a really nice shift to where we are right now. And I think that's why it was as successful as it was, because it was everyone's story. It wasn't just a black story. And
I
it's the story of men and women, you know, and it's the human experience, right? So we kind of tap into usually. And so, yeah, there's a number of those for sure that I would love to have been a part of, and you know I'm excited for the future, and hopefully I could be a part of those films in the next 5 years. You know, somehow, some way, kind of making my own mark and bringing those kind of stories to life.
Well, you know, we're being bombarded, and it's going to be happening within the next few years as well. You know, we're being bombarded with DC and Marvel superhero movies. So, I mean, we would love to see doing something like that. Definitely.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I say to that. Absolutely. I would love it.
Yes. We would definitely love to see you involved in something like that. You know, so, I mean, we have so many that's going to be blessing the theaters in the next coming years. So, definitely.
For sure.
I truly do hope you get an opportunity to be involved in something like that, because they're definitely really successful right now, and they're definitely making waves.
Absolutely. And if not me, at least another woman of color, because those movies, I love those films, but, you know, unfortunately, we're drastically missing from those kinds of films, like drastically. You know, I mean, I'm thinking that even when I think of, like, a film like Fantastic Four, like Kerry Washington is, I can't even, I mean, outside of course, Hallie, who has kind of, you know, has Storm, Lockdown, and Catwoman, but other than that, I can't, like, even when I think of Thor or The Avengers, I mean, we are not really seeing a whole lot of us. So hopefully that will shift. You know, we had, Idris was in Thor as the gatekeeper, but I'm hoping for definitely more opportunities, and that people will be, you know, the casting directors, producers, directors will be open to kind of seeing everyone involved.
Everyone, I agree, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Now, do you have any new, up-and-coming film projects or television projects that the fans would definitely love to hear about?
I believe my episode of Touch is either coming out, this is horrible that I don't know it, but it's either this week or next week. I did an episode, it was the episode before the finale, I know that. So check out, if you're all the Touch fans, watch out for me, I'm the ME that will not let Kiefer go by. Not on my watch, he won't go by, so check me out there. And I have another film, a film called Four Parts that's actually being entered into a few festivals now. I'm not exactly sure when the air date will be on that, but it's myself, Darren Henson, and incredible cast, Eric Haywood, who is one of the writers of Private Practice this season, really talented brother who wrote this great story about a couple, myself and Darren, who, you know, like many couples, we've been married probably about 6 years, and the passion is kind of drained out of the relationship, and we're trying to figure out, you know, he's really busy, I'm really busy, and I take the initiative, and I try to figure out something to spice it up, and my good friend and her husband have an open marriage, and you know, I'm not at all down for the open marriage, but I'm like, well, maybe we could add some people and see what happens. And so that's as much of a tease as I'll tell you, and craziness, but it's a great story, and it's I call this story kind of a great fly on the wall, you know, story. It's the kind of thing that maybe, you know, I know for myself, Nadine, I would not be open to something like that. But it's so cool to watch, you know, like, it's like, it's, I don't know if you guys watch Scandal, but it's like, you know, you watch her having this affair with this married man, and it's so wrong, but you're like, yes, you know, it's that fly on the wall scenario. So that's Four of Hearts. So look out for that. That'll be coming out soon.
Well, we definitely can't wait to check that out, and definitely can't wait to see you on Touch. I think anything that Keisha Sutherland is touching as far as TV is definitely going up. So definitely can't wait to see you on that. And congratulations again to your success, especially with Let's Stay Together, and much more success with that as well. Let's Stay Together is airing tonight at what time?
At 10:30. 10:30 on BET right after the game.
10:30, and that's Eastern time, right?
That is, well, 10:30 Eastern time, and actually, well, it's already kind of aired. What time is it now? Yeah, I guess it's already, we're airing right now on the East Coast, but 10:30 here, West Coast as well.
So, and it's that, and that's every Tuesday, right?
That is every Tuesday right after the
every
game.
Tuesday. Every Tuesday, ladies and gentlemen, definitely make sure you guys check out Let's Stay Together every Tuesday, 10:30 Eastern time, and you can see Nadine on there as well, and get ready for her debut on the hit TV series Touch, and she's going to be a part of that as well. And I want to say, as far as for myself, I want to say it was an honor and a pleasure to have you on the show with us tonight. I'm truly blessed to have an opportunity to laugh and talk with you. We had so much fun with you, and thank you so much for being a part of our experience. Any closing comments for Nadine?
Our only closing comments is thank you. Your presence was definitely enjoyed. Is there any way that one could stay in contact with you, you know, via Facebook, Twitter? Are you on those networks?
I am. You can hit me on Twitter at Nadine Ellis, NadineElLis. And I'm on Facebook under Nadine Ellis as well.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
So reach out, you know, give us some love. So
okay, will do.
But thank you guys so much. I appreciate it. I had a great time, and again, let's be together tonight, 10:30. Tell a friend, watch it. Let's keep Black TV going, keep it alive, and keep a keen eye for the commercials, because you might just see Idris and I in the second installment. They've been playing them sometimes during the show, and there is a third installment coming out in June. So definitely keep an eye out for that as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Perfect. Thank you so much. CK, any closing comments for Nadine?
I just want to say thank you. Continue on your journey. Do what makes you happy, and I look forward to seeing more of you. I already added your page on Facebook.
Nice. Thank you so much.
And again, Nadine, I just want to say that as far as the D-Hour Radio Network is concerned, you're no longer a guest. You're a family member here on this network, and we will always keep supporting you and everything that you're doing and telling everybody about all your new endeavors. And being a family member here, you are always welcome to hang out and talk with us and join us anytime that you want. And we're going to keep supporting you and definitely telling everybody about what you're doing.
Great. I love that. Thanks, you guys. This has been so much fun, really. It's just like chatting with friends.
Absolutely. And again, if you have an experience, like if you get a chance to touch Prince's ankle or Prince's kneecap or something, you know, we wanna know about that too. Now we wanna know about that too. You know, so you know, absolutely. But thank you so much for joining us, and I definitely can't wait to see you on Touch and definitely see more episodes of Let's Stay Together. So thank you for joining us tonight, and you truly have a blessed night tonight.
Thank you. Same to you guys.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, D-Hour Radio Network, D-Hour Show, getting it in right here on the Tuesday spot. That was the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis joining us. You can definitely check her out on the BET hit comedy series Let's Stay Together every Tuesday night, 10:30 p.m. Eastern time. And definitely make sure you check her out in the coming episode of Touch. She's going to be on that as well. And then just keep looking out for everything that she's doing. You can check her out on Twitter and on Facebook as well. Nadine Ellis, the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis. Right now, we got a couple of hits. When we come back,
real men is going to be talking. Oh, it's going down. D Slate, CKLEO. Oh, we got the questions. We got it going down for real men talking tonight. The real men is going to be talking, so you might want to be listening, ladies and gentlemen, while we're getting our talk on. Don't go nowhere. The Hour Show, Tuesday Spot. It's my man Carolina Blue at Street Educated. Let's go.
Anonymous. this person asks, this is the three piece. How important is oral sex in a relationship? What if the girl doesn't like it? And then if she does, is there such thing as too much?
Whoa. Say that again?
Please repeat
Okay. Now, the first question was, how important is oral sex in a relationship? Second question, what if she doesn't like it? Third question is there such thing as too much?
Too much oral sex?
Yeah.
and you're saying what if she don't like it?
What if she doesn't like doing it? How does it affect the relationship?
Wait, what you said? What if she don't like doing it, or what if she don't like it being done?
Doing it.
You know what? I'm gonna take a stab at it. I mean, I look at it like this. First of all, it depends on ladies. It depends on your relationship with that man. I mean, you know, you have to decide as a woman. You got to decide. You know, how far you want to go, how deep are your feelings and your relationship with the gentleman that you're with. I mean, if you're willing to take it to that level, take it to that next level, and you want to, you know, be, you know, orally experienced with him, and you want to experience those things with him as far as oral sex is concerned, then, I mean, I don't know a whole, you know, the question was, what if she don't like it? I mean, there are a few ladies out there who don't care for it too much, and I think it's only mostly because of, you know, stereotypes and different things that they've heard, or you know, you maybe heard of other women experiencing. I understand every man and every woman is different. You know, your experience is not necessarily going to be the same experience that your friend went through, or somebody you know or you heard about. That doesn't mean that your experience is going to be like that. And also depends, you know, on the gentleman that you're with, and you guys have to have patience with each other. You got to understand each other and you know, understand each other's feelings and what each other want, you know, as far as that's concerned. I mean, you know, if you're doing it, you know, correctly, then I don't know a whole lot of men that's not going to like it. Now, as far as, you know, that woman not liking it, there's a few ladies out there who don't care for it too much. And understand too, there's a lot of guys out there who likes it, but it's not that big of a deal for them. You know, they'd rather be making love to you or, you know, doing other things than really concentrating on that. So again, ladies, I think that it just really truly depend on you and your relationship with that man. I mean, if that's something that you would like to experience with him, then that's wonderful. If you do try it and don't really care for it too much, you got to make sure you communicate well with them and let them know, you know, baby, I like this, but, you know, I don't, I'd rather try other things, or can you help me, you know, if you really, you know, want him to enjoy that and you don't really care too much for it, then you got to try to figure out what is it about it that you're not enjoying and what can you do to help change that?
Tika?
Well, I started laughing when I first heard this, and the second time I heard this, because of the fact that, first thing first, I think if you don't know someone, y'all need to get that out the way first. And you learn from one because of the fact that, you know, so like when y'all, come on now, people know if they don't want to be, go there with that person or not, you know, they like them, and, you know. So I say, you know, if she don't like it, ask her, you gotta figure out, does it work one way with her, or does it work both ways, or she don't like it either way, or what? I mean, it gotta be some kind of compromise to come into it. And I don't think it's never enough. The more you do it, the more fun you have. I just mean bluntly honest. Some stuff you have to sit down and talk with them about, you know, and get that out the way, and then you keep on with your regular conversation. But I need to know right off the bat: are you into oral sex? Are you not? You know. What can I do to make you comfortable because she may or may not had a she may or may not had a bad experience, and it's always different with another person as opposed to the one before. So yeah, I'll let that.
I would definitely agree with the two. I think it does depend on the relation itself. I think it's completely healthy in a relationship to engage in those activities. I feel like personally it's the microwave to the oven. Sometimes you need to, if you guys don't, you know, fully feel like getting in a full act here and there, something quick, you know, it's always good. And if she doesn't like it, like I said, it just depends on the relationship. If you're willing to accept that, willing to grow, if you two have an understanding, you two can grow together. To she could probably learn to like it, or you can learn not to like getting it. I don't know who would, but just stating fact. And then as far as too much, I agree. I don't think it could be too much of anything really. It's all about, you know, creating new possibilities. And yeah, that's that. And that's my twist on it. I have another question. If you guys want to go in, it's up to you guys.
Absolutely, go ahead, bro.
Okay. This next question is: how important is a woman's attire? Well, let me get the exact words. Does a woman's outer appearance define who she is?
I'm gonna let CK take that first.
I'm going to say not in most cases, because of the fact that a lot of times when we go out or we in a general public eye, we do put on, women put on an attire to get like, sometimes they do things to get the advertisement, to get the attention of the guy. And then a lot of other times they don't. I mean, I'm going to give you a couple of examples. Like, I was in the license bureau. Lady walked in. She had all these leggings. They were so tight. They were like this skin tight. And she knew what she was doing when she was. She knew she had a big old booty. And she knew that men were going to be sitting there, you know, and she knew what she was doing. But I don't think that's who she is as a person, because of the fact that she may have had that, but I mean that's just how, you know, so I just think she just like looking sexy, getting attention. But and then there was another time you be in the store and you see a woman looking her worst, but then again she's looking sexy. The attire doesn't always play on what a person, on what she's really like, to me, in my opinion. You'd be surprised. Someone would look really nice and be horrible.
Okay.
You know what? I think that's a touchy one. I think that it just depends because, again, I think, of course, I mean, ladies, I mean, a man don't want you walking around looking like a hobo. I mean, you know, if you walk around looking like that, I mean, I'm going to give you a couple of dollars and take you to a homeless shelter. But I think that the thing about it is, I think that in some cases, a woman's attire can sometimes definitely make her look different. I mean, you know, we've all seen women who's dressed tomboyish, who is dressed in boy clothes or guy clothes, and it was really hard. I mean, even good looking women, it was really hard to see. That sex appeal. It was really hard to see truly how sexy that and beautiful that they can be. Now, you know, once they got up out of those clothes and dressed up in more feminine attire and whatever the case may be, it was a huge difference. And you can also say that about when women do their hair and don't do their hair. You know, if a woman does her hair or does her hair, it's a huge, you can see it definitely a difference. You can see a big difference. Now, makeup, I mean, that's a different story, you know. I mean, some women naturally just look beautiful without makeup, and Some women are beautiful, and then when they're getting ready to go out and they put on some sexy clothes and makeup and get their hair done, they look fantastic. And you're looking like, damn, baby. You know, so it's like, you know, you can have a beautiful woman, but I think that when they do put on a certain attire and hairdo and makeup and different things like that, yeah, they look absolutely different. I mean, so I think in some cases, you know, attire can make a woman, but I don't think that is truly that important to men. I mean, if you're beautiful, if that man finds you beautiful and sexy, he can care less of whether or not you're walking around with a damn garbage bag on. I mean, he may, you know, just say she's sexy with whatever, you know. So I think it just truly depends on, you know, that man and his taste in women and what he finds attractive and sexy.
Mm-hmm. Okay. My spill on it is, technically, no. In actuality, yes, because you don't know this individual from a can of paint. You know nothing about her. You know nothing about her personality or how she acts in the outer field or behind closed doors. You know nothing. So all you have to reference is what your eyes see and what your eyes feel, because you know nothing. All you know is what she has on. So if she's wearing something skimpy, first thought comes to your head, that's who you define her as. And it's really no way of beating around that, unless you really know a person. And you don't. So it's just, it's in the whim. So no, we don't technically know who this person is, because this person could be a really sweet person and they're just having a bad hair day or just having, oh, it's laundry day. You know nothing about it. But
that's
in
real.
Your mind, you already painted the picture of this person. So
that's right.
I'd say in actuality, yes, it does define who she is.
Wow, there it is. I'm gonna go to the phone line. We got I know we got a couple calls on the line. I want to, you know, definitely try to get them out the way real quick. We got about 12 minutes left into the show. Caller 267-320. You're on the Tuesday spot with the brothers. What's your name? Where you calling from? Caller 267-320. You're on the Tuesday spot. What's your name? Where you calling from? Caller 267-320. All right, I guess not. We'll go to our next caller. Caller who has your number blocked. You're on the Tuesday spot with the brothers. What's your name? Where you calling from?
Hi, this is Rita, and I was actually just listening to you guys.
You say that again, Rita? You just said Brita, Rita?
Rita, and I'm just listening.
Oh, okay. Well, Rita, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight. Absolutely. Are you enjoying the show?
I'm definitely listening.
All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to the show tonight.
Thank you.
CK, bro, do you have a question for us real quick?
Well, I was waiting on a question, but I'm going to throw one out on my own. I got relationship questions, not saying I'm in a relationship, but I like that. But my question comes off like, why is it that when a guy meet a woman, she had to be somebody else's woman at the time, and then when she's not then someone else's woman no more, and then you two kind of, the guy and the woman kind of meet up and they hit it off, but she can't be yours and you can't be hers because of the fact that they have a past with other people that they know, you know. So, and then it's like, why do the women pass the man up for another guy, and they got a guy right there trying their best to show them, like, hey, regardless of what our friends or whoever had going on, we can have something here. And she doesn't acknowledge, she doesn't see that. She see other things, and then start talking to these other guys and then whine and cry and complain to you about it.
LEO?
Okay. Okay, no. Could you stick the initial question?
Why do some women overlook a man if they're good for them? If that's the man they really truly desire, that kind of man, they overlook him for somebody that they're looking elsewhere for.
I think you gotta look at it in a sense of not necessarily a female, but just in a human perspective. Like a lot of the times, everyone overlooks what they really need or what they really want by a prototype of what they think, not what they actually need, because we never know what we actually need until we either have a bad experience or have a really good experience that wasn't good enough for themselves, or you have to basically experience life to really know what you want, and then sometimes you overlook the things or you go past and you progress through life missing out on some of the things, the good things that you had, but not knowing. So I don't think you can really blame a female or blame a male for missing out, because sometimes you're blinded.
Yeah.
I'll say this real quick. I'll say that I think in any aspect of, you know, men or women, but I think that when somebody has somebody that they're truly, that, you know, if they found somebody or know somebody that's what they're looking for and that's who they want, that's the kind of person that they want to be with. I think a lot of times when they pass that person up to be with, you know, somebody else or something else, I think fear can be a factor, because I think that when you find something that you want, that you truly want, or you find a person that you're saying, oh, that's what I want, that's what I want to be with, that's the kind of man I want, or that's the kind of woman I want, I think a lot of times fear becomes a factor, because you don't want to, you're thinking, man, if I get involved in it, I don't want to mess it up. I don't want, you know, I don't want nothing to happen. You know that you're going to be paranoid and worried about things all the time, because you don't want nothing to mess up, and or you don't want to drive them away by being paranoid all the time. So a lot of times, you know, your mind tends to play tricks on you in situations like that. So it's like you're thinking like, I don't know, I don't want to mess that up. And it's like you pass on it and then go with something else that the total opposite of something that you know you're not looking for, just for a quick fix. So I think a lot of times fear can be a huge factor in that.
All right, yeah, y'all mind me. I got a question from another person, y'all mind me going out here real quickly.
No doubt, go ahead.
All right, the scenario is, she said, okay, I've been talking to this guy for quite some time now, and I fell in love with him. He also told me that he loves me as well, but the thing is, I'm not quite sure if he really, really in love with me, because he has a lot of female friends that he calls, quote unquote, his friends. And it's like, how can I build trust when he has these females as his friends? I'm very skeptical. What should I do? Am I being insecure because I've been down the road with a past relationship I had?
Elio?
Well, one, I definitely wouldn't reference a past relationship to begin with. Now, if you do feel skeptical about it, and you've addressed the situation and nothing has been done, then you have to be the one to really delegate whether you want to stay or you want to leave. Is it worth staying? Are you really in love with this person? Because if you are, then the others really shouldn't matter in the bigger picture. And if these people are someone you call his friends, then you should know his friends. That's that.
That's real. I mean, I wholeheartedly agree with Leo. I mean, if you're truly in love with that person, then you're gonna figure it out, and you're gonna work through those issues, because you know it's a lot of people out there that want love. You know, it's people that's in relationships and it's people that's dating but don't have love. So if you truly have love and that love is making you happy, then you're gonna figure it out.
you're going to figure it out, and you're going to work through the obstacles, work through the issues, and continue that love.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say this. When it comes to trust, I compare trust to credit, to a line of credit, okay. Should I say. When that trust is used up, it's like the line of credit. It's hard. You know, y'all know it's hard to build your credit back up. You have to work at it and pay it off and to get it back to be where it's at. And the same goes like trust. Trust is like you use it so much, and then once the trust is broken, it's kind of hard, and you got to work your way to getting it back to where it was. And see, in this case is, you know, if he cares about her, he truly cares about her. If he says he loves you, and he shows it, and he's there every time when he's there with you, you know, I say don't be too skeptical about it. You know, it is from what I'm thinking, it's probably fresh and new, so you still got to give it some time. You know, and like Elio said, you can't refer the past relationship to this current, you know. I understand the insecurity, but it is sometimes we have to get over those loops, and that's just be one of those things that you have to. It's like you have to take, take a step on that risk. Who says life is not going to be where you get hurt, you know? So, yeah.
That's real. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's it right there. That's how it goes down. Real Men Talking, the number one segment on the Tuesday, our Tuesday show, the Tuesday Spot. I want to take this opportunity to thank our special guests, our wonderful guests that we had on the show tonight, the sensational Mr. Michael Beach for joining us, and the beautiful Miss Nadine Ellis from the hit BET TV show Let's Stay Together. Definitely shout out to them and thanking them so much for hanging out with us and joining us. And we had a wonderful time with them. And we also had a wonderful time with you guys. As always, the D. Albert Show listeners and fans, thank you guys so much for joining us. As always, we love you guys. Keep tuning in every Sunday through Thursday and Saturday. You never know who's going to be on. You never know who we're going to be talking to. You guys are wonderful. And, again, keep tuning in. Leo, real quick, your shout-out to the Pete.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Shout-out to everybody that called in and listened in for our two guests that come on the show. For further weeks, please post on the page Optimistic Music, and look out for Optimistic Vision, which is the graphic design company that I'm starting to produce with. So you'll be seeing some of my designs posted biweekly. So, yeah, look forward to that.
Ooh, and he gets it in. Trust me, like, that's my boy. He gets it in. CK, any closing comments?
I just want to say I had a fun time. You know, I was stuck at Burger King waiting on y'all order.
And
they pick up front, you know, ordering the left side to the right side of the menu, you know, but that's cool. It's all right, you know. Well, after that, we go out. We get some barbecue chicken wings, you know, in the bucket, you know, and chill, you know. But I just want to say shout out to everybody everywhere. I'm praying for everyone because it seems like everybody is going through quite a lot right now. We finally, people are being reunited after being missing for 10 years, tragedies, natural disasters, financial issues. Everybody is going through something right now, and my prayers are going out to everyone right now. Things will get better before they get even worse.
No doubt. And that's real. We're praying for everybody, and just prayers out to everybody that's just going through some things and having some tough times right now. Prayers definitely to you and hoping that you get through what you're going through, and just know that everything is gonna be all right. If you get your prayer in, and just have some faith and belief in you. And you know, in God and everything that you know that's real, you know, and in love, you know. So just, you know, just have some prayer, have some faith, and all of that, and definitely everything should work out well for you. And
again, we want to thank everybody for tuning in and hanging out with us on the Tuesday Spot. We'll see you guys next time. Big shout out to Michael Beach and Nadine Ellis for joining us. We had a wonderful time. We'll see you guys next time. Please enjoy the rest of your Tuesday night. Be blessed, and please be safe. We'll see you next time.
Peace. Good night, everybody.
Tell me who the hottest in the town. Reaching your location, even places not around. Travel through your airways, stimulate your intellect, and you ain't even know. It's broadcasted from the internet. Giving you what you want, showing love to the hood, even to the burbs, so yeah, it's all good. No, they ain't like other stations, following the trend. 10 minutes later, the same song spins. It's the D-Hour Show, yeah, I said it so you know. Coming first in any challenge, on your mark, set, go. If you're ready, let's roll. Let's hop aboard the starship. The hottest station, showing love to underground artists. Yeah.